Welcome to the Breathe Podcast, where we explore the intersection of faith and creativity. We interview artists from all walks of life to discover how faith plays a role in their art and expression, hoping to encourage you to live a life of creativity and faith. And now, please welcome your co-hosts, Derek Engoy, Christian Mendoza, and Kevin Horton.
Yup. Welcome back to the Breathe Faith and Creativity. I am Derek Engoy from Torrance, California, chiming in from Long Beach, California. We got the fly guy himself, Kevin Horton. Kevin, what's going on?
I'm impersonating Chris. Yo, yo.
Speaking of yo, yo, we got Chris Mendoza from Cerritos. Chris, what's going on?
Yo, just chilling.
Oh, you forgot that second yo, man. What's going on?
Yo, yo. Yo, yo. I'll make it up for him.
It's been a few weeks. You forgot, right? You forgot your tagline.
Yeah, the lost yos.
Yo, what about the yo-yo? Yo.
Well, hey, guys. Welcome to the final episode of Season 2. Kevin and Chris, thank you for the amazing journey it's been, and it definitely is just the beginning. Really quickly, maybe this is our icebreaker question. Hey, Kevin, what would you say, just off the top of your head, how did Season 2 go for you personally?
Phenomenal.
Oh, okay. Very short and sweet. Keeping the theme of short and sweet over the past couple episodes. Did you want to interject a little bit? I'm looking at you at Zoom and I see your lips quivering a little bit. They're moving a little bit. Did you want to add to that, or are you good with phenomenal?
Well, I always wanted to go with you always said I was the man of few words. And so I wanted to start out with one word and just look at your reaction, which was like this.
I know, huh? Can you imagine if this was a video podcast and people watching us?
So the reason it was phenomenal for me was that when you gave me the option last March or so of hosting, I had never hosted a podcast before. Mm. I listened to a podcast and I've done all these different types of things like voice work and different things, but I never had the helm of a podcast, and I really learned about myself.
That's cool.
Through the whole season. And I realized that my opinion matters.
Yeah, it does.
And my voice matters. And what I used to hide, what I used to not talk about, all of a sudden I'm just blasting it to the world and realize that I'm impacting other people's lives.
Well, you're blasting it from Indonesia to Africa to Asia to all across America. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And Kevin, and I just, again, applaud you for stepping up. You could have fooled me in saying that you've never hosted a podcast before. But I think you stepped in a time that I knew I couldn't do it alone. And I just thank you for stepping in. And so, yeah, thank you for the journey, man. Thank you for hopping on. It was wonderful. Definitely looking forward to season 3. Hey, Chris, what about you? Initial thoughts on how this past season went?
It was pretty much a bullseye on a lot of different aspects. I mean, we had the goals, you know, of growing as a podcast, the number of episodes. We meet really cool people who are doing things for the right reason pretty much almost every week. Yeah. I mean, and we were able to connect in a human way during lockdown.
Yeah.
And that was probably the best thing of all is Kevin had a goal of, oh, everybody associated with the podcast actually do better. Well, they all did pretty much. Yeah. Everybody that we interviewed, including ourselves. And that was a really hard task to do, especially during a real depressive time such as lockdown.
Yeah.
You know, that was really dope. What about you?
Yeah. You know, I think this, just looking on the surface level, I know we're going to go a little bit deep over the next few minutes of this episode, but on the surface level, you know, it was fun for me to share the mic with the both of you. And, you know, quite honestly, I didn't know how it was going to go. Well, maybe with you, you know, Chris, because we have a history together and we've shared the stage together when we performed. And so that camaraderie was there. But really, when you have three different people stepping onto the microphone and really trying to guide the narrative of this podcast, which this past season just so happened to be mental health, that seemed to be the thread that tied all of the stories together. You know, I was just curious. as to how it was going to turn out. And I think despite the three different lives that we all lead, even though, you know, I think, you know, we all follow Jesus, of course, and we all prescribe to Christianity, we're still all different and we have different personalities. We're all uniquely made. We have different backgrounds. And to see it all come together almost effortlessly, obviously there's the editing portion, there's the marketing aspect, there's all of that that goes into making this podcast happen, right? You just don't like hit record and start talking and then post that. No, there's the production side to that. So aside from all of the behind the scenes, I think this past season came together really, really well. I think a lot of times, you know, knowing what production looks like on podcasts and how a lot of it is all scripted, a lot, and there are great shows, don't get me wrong, but a lot of it, there's a lot that goes into it. And as much as we put a lot into ours, I just think there was something there in our camaraderie and our banter, just that it worked, I think. And I really enjoyed this past season. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Yeah. Hey, before we get into to the rest of the show, let me just quickly do our quick reads. I'm going to do a condensed version for those listening out there. Obviously, we have an Instagram page. Don't forget to follow us. Even during our break, we will still remain active. Hit Instagram. Many of you have followed us over the past season. We're so grateful for you. And it's at breathe.podcast, at breathe.podcast. Of course, we also have a face group page where we will continue the discussion even into our break. We will post periodic questions for us to continue with our narratives and our discussions. So hit that up as well. We also have a Patreon page where y'all can support this show. Again, because we're going on break doesn't mean that the show is stopping. We are going to have bonus episodes. So we would appreciate you heading up patreon.com/Derek Ngoy. And you can become a producer of this show. And then lastly, of course, on Apple Podcasts, we would appreciate your comments and your 5-star reviews. Thank you so much for those who hopped on this season to give us a nod and some stars. And we appreciate you. We obviously, you know, can theoretically just do this for us. We can put up a mic, record, and post it. But no, we do this for your enjoyment. We do this for your benefit. And of course, for your educational purposes, especially with a lot of the guests that we've had on the show. And so thank you so much. So Instagram, Patreon, and review. And so thank you so, so, so much. Yeah. So let's continue. This show, obviously we're not going to have a guest. We are the guests of the show on this last episode. Let's bring it back to you, Chris. I don't know. You got some questions to put out there that we can kind of talk through, or what are some thoughts you got going on?
Yeah, sure. I mean, all right, here, let's just start off with a stupid one. I mean, Kevin and I have talked about it before, but Derek, I mean, what are your biggest screw ups over season two where you're like, oh dang, I forgot to do this before a show? Or is there anything that you messed up on?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think being the primary editor of the show, I think once the show goes live, usually Mondays, when I listen to the playback of the edited version, and this is one of the reasons why I love the fact that we have started posting the full length version of the interviews on our Patreon page. But on the edited version, sometimes I'm listening to it. I'm like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have taken that part out, or maybe I shouldn't have, you know, taken out that many ums and us, you know, because it tends to sound more robotic and unnatural. Cause I, you know, quite honestly, I try to do that, not just amongst us, but even in our guests, you know, I'll try
to save time.
Yeah. You know, just to cut down time, just to. Maybe someone, one of our guests was taking too long to get to their point, so they filled it with the filler words like, you know, and all that. And I was cutting. And I think there are a couple episodes in hindsight, I look back and think, man, like maybe I overdid the editing. And so for me, it's that. It's, you know, maybe because, you know, with editing, you try to capture a story. And, you know, we have our static questions that we ask all of our guests. But, you know, sometimes guests go off on tangents and you try to keep things not linear, but you try to keep things cohesive. And I think sometimes I overdid the editing. And for those listening, and maybe you didn't catch on it, and maybe that's a nod to my expertise in the field, but I know, and I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have cut that out. And of course we can re-edit and reload, you know, the interview, but hey, you know, I didn't want to go through that process, but I would say that, also, great question.
Yeah. Also too, I mean, you try to keep it down to about an hour.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to do what you have to do when the interview's over an hour long, right. You know? How about you, Kevin? Was there like any big boo-boos that you made on your end?
Oh, yes. And one particular interview, and it's the interview with Melanie Neat Smuck.
You Neat Smuck.
I like that. You're Smuck. So when I did the interview, we got it all set up. She comes on and we start talking. I go, okay, we're going to start the interview. And I hit record. And she smiles, and all of a sudden, her smile freezes. And I didn't notice it, and I keep continuing and realizing that she's not answering my questions. And I look at her and I go, are you still with us, Melanie? And she's still smiling like that. And I didn't have my phone with me, and she's texting me going, OMG, I had a power spike right when you hit record. I can't reach you. My house went dark. And... to this day, she's my Taibo instructor, so we still laugh about that because I called me back and she was just laughing, going, the minute you hit record, my house, the power spiked and blew, all that. And I'm still looking at, and she's like got that Joker smile like this, like, and I go, don't you want to answer my question? And she's just.
So did you end up finishing that interview that day or you had to do the interview another day?
We restarted it three times that day, and we were laughing so hard. She said, "I can't believe this." And well, you see how it came out after my third try.
Yeah.
I say I never told the other two hosts how long it took me, so it was just confession time.
That's funny. How about you, Chris? What are your bloopers or what?
My biggest blooper was probably my very first interview when I did Carrie Jo Pasquale for Heart Strokes.
Okay.
I did a press record the very first time, or I did it split the line where it would be individual feeds on Zoom.
Oh,
So, yeah, man, I had to do it twice. And so I'm like, oh, sorry, Carrie. But the thing that was cool, though, is like, you know, we both kind of got our feet wet. I mean, she got to know a little more of what to expect. And then I did too as a host because it was my very first time leading the interview. Mm-hmm. And so I think the both of us, our chemistry was much better going through it the first time. And that, but I was just glad that it was her and that she wasn't like super, super pressed for time.
Yeah.
Okay. I confess too that with my Blakenstein interview, I did a bonehead move and forgot to hit record the first time. And I ended the interview, I was like, it's not buffering. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I just did an hour and a half interview with him. And I have to call him back and go, we have to do the interview again. And it's sort of like, and the silence he gave me. But and then we redid it again the next day. And what's he ask? Well, the first time he comes on, he goes, did you hit record?
Yeah.
Yes, Dad, I did. I mean, yes, sir, I did.
And that's the downside to recording on Zoom, right? There's no levels and sound checks. And
yeah.
And obviously, I've been doing this for a long time, but you know, the fact that I record it directly into my recorder instead of recording from Zoom, right? I do it obviously with COVID. I had to do a lot of the interviews on Zoom, but you know, I'm always checking levels and such like that. And I could say that I never missed pressing record. So, yeah, I have one of the questions I have for you guys is what's one thing that you learned about yourself this past season? What's one thing that you learned about yourself this past season? Let's start with you, Kevin.
I can lead.
Mm. Yeah.
And see, that's four words. So I said three more than before. So I'm on the up and up, you know. And you saying he's a man of few words. So I was like, I can lead. You were like, oh my gosh, he said three words in a sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, you can lead for sure. You did amazing interviews.
And that first interview that I did was with Rita Wild and C.W. West.
Yeah.
That was the first time on Zoom, first time for me to talk to someone of that stature that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Never met Rita before. I knew C.W. from other events that I worked. And so it was all of a sudden Rita's right with me, talking to me. And so if ever there was an interview where it was a fanboy, that was one. That was it. And I hope the fanboyness didn't come out too much.
No, well, you did a professional job in that interview, and it was a wonderful... That was one of the interviews where I looked back and thought, oh, man, I shouldn't have cut that out. But, you know, Rita just had some amazing stories. So did CW, and it just was just hard to condense it all into not just an hour, because the show we try to keep down to an hour. It's the interviews.
The engine's on fire.
Yeah.
The engine's on fire.
Yeah.
That story, it goes... The other engine's on fire. I would not be that calm inside of a plane going, this, we're on fire. She was like, it's on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
The calmness that she has,
that's
especially
right.
under those situations, like the building almost going on fire. And then she's like, we're just going to go down. I was like, I need to hang around you when there's other situations going on, because you keep people calm.
Yeah. 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 What about you, Chris? What did you learn about yourself this past season?
Man, just the ability to keep things together. Because, I mean, if you think about it, this past year and a half, like, everybody, you know, during lockdown, all the worst things have possibly happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, whether it be whatever you believe politically has been challenged. There's
right.
maybe been riots and protests. I mean, we had a lot of people with the stay-at-home orders and the work-at-home. I mean, they're visibly showing you their 80-proof drinks.
Right.
You know, that they're... drinking during work and taking care of their kids. And so everyone was buying guns and hoarding. And what was really cool is we all kind of kept it together, and I kind of did too.
Yeah.
I reined in on my inner circle, and yeah, I have to thank Jesus for it too. I mean, being associated with him, being associated with you guys. I mean, we'll talk about it a little later, but yeah, I mean, the hub too. I mean, that's all part of it as well. It's like being able to, meet and rub elbows with like-minded people. Like that event over the summer, the Love the Summer event, there mm-hmm. was about 100 people there, you know, a couple weeks back. And that was pretty cool. That was totally God right there.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty dope.
Yeah, we did about 80 drinks that day at Love the Summer pop-up. So that's quite a few drinks to make in such a short span of time. Now, I think this past season, again, nods to you guys for joining, but I learned that I can't do it all. As much as I try, and I think I relatively held it together this past season, running the helm of a lot of things. But it definitely started to take a toll toward the end, especially with the coffee shop ramping up and the responsibilities of getting that up and running. Cause you know, for the past, I don't know, maybe even close to a year now, maybe short of a year, it's all been in the concept stage, still trying to work with permits and work with the city. But you know, the moment we did that Love the Summer pop-up, and then, of course, our weekly pop-ups now. And even though it's once a week, I mean, things are getting real. And, you know, you're working with vendors to get the coffee beans. You're working with bakers to get the pastries. And even though we don't have employees yet, you know, we have one person volunteering weekly. And so it's, okay, now I got to think about training the person, even though this is like a donation volunteer base operation for now. You know, I still want to train the person as if they're working there, because we don't want to serve like second rate drinks, right? We have, we have all the necessary equipment. We have premium beans and amazing pastries. It would do a disservice to those in the community to just kind of throw something out there. So even that, having that mindset to do it more than just well. And then on top of that, there's still the pastoral responsibilities at the church. Having to preach once a month, having to not just prepare and preach sermons, but also be on the teaching team to come up with sermon series and all that. And then so thinking that I can do it all with the podcast, I realize, I can't do it all. That's why I'm looking forward to season three and handing a lot of the responsibilities over to you guys and sharing the responsibilities. Because I think if I look ahead to season three, having shared responsibilities is just going to make the show even better. And, you know, I didn't tell you guys this, but it was just a personal challenge on my own that I just felt like, you know what, this is my baby. This podcast was birthed out of my last book that I wrote, and I wanted to keep it, you know, in a certain kind of level of integrity. And it was my own challenge to do it all. And I just realized, yeah, I can't do it all. And I have these guys and you, Chris and Kevin, who are here to help. And I gotta lean on you guys. And so that's one thing I learned about myself this past season.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Kevin? Any questions that you want to pose to us and just kind of pick our brains a little bit about this year?
I'll just throw this out there. How are you different now than when you were when you started hosting the season? How are you different? How do you see yourself? And today is the first day of the rest of your life. If you've never seen that in a counseling office.
From season one interview? Is that what you're talking about until now?
Season two. Going into season two.
Oh, okay. Man, I kind of feel like I've definitely grown. I mean, from a host standpoint, you know, being able to look for interviews and stuff like that, I'll just go out there and just connect with people, no problem. And it's like we had that goal of being able to humanly connect, you know, at the very first episode. And now we're actually doing it, and we're doing it during lockdown.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, like me personally, I had a goal of meeting one painter by the end of the season. I met three.
Yeah.
You know, and not only have I met three, two of them are super veterans and they're showing me the game. And if I could do that, if I could show our audience and myself and then us that I could do that on an individual level during lockdown, and you guys are kind of doing the same thing too, dude, nothing could stop us when the world opens up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think, the number one thing that I've learned.
I think in the beginning, and I think I was alluding to it earlier, I didn't really know what to expect. You know, coming off of season one, where it was just me and interviewing artists, and that was it. And you know, obviously, the both of you were a part of that, given you guys were guests of season one. And so, I didn't know what to expect coming into this season, having co-hosts. And now that we're here, now that we're at the last episode of season two, you know, I feel like the area that I've grown in, it goes back to the responsibilities, right? Knowing I can't do it all. I was excited to see how you guys would fare in interviewing people and bringing in your networks of people that I had no connection with. And so, again, I said this earlier that this was my baby that was birthed out of my book, and to be able to entrust you both with interviews was huge for me. Because, you know, going into it, obviously from season one, I wanted to create the narrative. I wanted to curate the guests and just really have you guys chime in. But to be able to hand it off to you guys says a lot about my growth and my willingness to let things go. And I think there's a lot of areas in my life where that's been a challenge for me to delegate responsibility, especially when it's something that I feel like was a vision that was put on my heart. And I want to maintain a level of integrity of what I feel the vision needs to be. And, you know, I think back of when I was leading the branch, it was the same way where I tried to do everything because I felt like as a church plant, and this was before we merged with, Eastside with you guys, Kevin, but, you know, in the early stages, I wanted to do everything because I felt like, you know, God put this on my heart. I need to make sure that I do it according to Him. And again, that was to my detriment because I really struggled a lot. But to be able to hand off the interview responsibilities to you guys, I think it showed a lot of growth in me. And if anything, it benefited the show in a great way because we had a huge variety of different guests.
Yeah.
That, and a diverse group of guests that I would not have had any opportunity to reach. But you two brought in that dynamic and it was great. Yeah. Great question, Kevin.
Well, I guess I'll answer my own question.
Yeah.
I said before how I found myself to being able to lead because for years and years and years, you would ask my family, specifically my brother, he would look at me sometimes and he doesn't pull any punches. And he said, "You're a follower." And of course I said, "No, I'm not." Then I looked at my stuff, look at some of the things I did and go, "You know what? I guess I am. And sometimes the truth hurts when you realize that that's how I had run things before. And so during lockdown, it was, you know, the four walls of the house a lot of times, and you're trying to do things. And the only way direction you can go during lockdown was up. I told the Lord and I told myself, I said, I'm going to jump into this thing with both feet and see what happens, because I loved hosting the podcast, because it was like Chris had said before, it's like a free counseling session, because you would log on and engage with people, and then I would feel so good afterward.
Yeah.
Because there's just, you have banter and you'll learn a lot of things, especially when you go back and listen to the interviews over and over.
Yeah.
That's what I did. And then I had struggled all last year with one thing, and I kept telling myself, you know, no one sees me. Hmm. And then Chris and I went to Corridor Flow, 200 times this year? two times this year. I'm sorry, moved the decimal on that one. And when I walked in, and especially when I got to meet Carrie Joy Pasquale, when I got to meet Nori, mm-hmm. and the owners, I left realizing I do make a difference. Mm-hmm. My voice was heard, and so that's how I have changed. And also the third thing that I've learned is I really didn't know how to navigate an interview, because I was always being the one interviewed.
Right.
And you go into it and go, okay, here's the questions and everything. And then so when I started that first interview with Rita Wild and CW West, I go, I've got two big heavy hitters here. They're talking to me, and I've got to drive the breathe mobile. I love that statement. I got to drive the breathe mobile.
You got to drive the ride.
And you had to learn about how to, okay, do you let them keep talking? When do I do the reeling in, going, okay, bring them back here? And I just learned that's for the editor. Just let it go.
Yeah.
And that was the best way to do it.
Yep. Yeah, of course. And that's the same thing in writing as well. When you're doing journalistic writing, you know, sure, you're given a word count, for instance, from your editors, but, you know, you just let it go and you just write and you submit what you have, and your editor may come back and say, well, you know what? I said 5,000 words. You got 10,000. I need you to cut it in half. And then you go back. And the same thing with video and, of course, audio editing. It's you want to have a lot to work with versus having nothing to work with. And so, you know, there are a lot of interviews that I did, Kevin, that were hour and a half long that I had to cut down to 20, but at least I had content to work with. It's easier to cut down than scrambling to be like, oh my gosh, like I only have 20 minutes of content and I can't work with, you know what I mean? And so, and we all know this too, movies take, you know, you got 6 months of footage for 2 hours of entertainment, you know, but you need all that content to be able to strip down. Yeah, great question. I have a question that might be difficult to answer, given that those who are listening, especially the guests that we interviewed who are listening, might feel awkward. But what would you say is your favorite episode, and why? Chris, let's start with you. What would you say is your favorite episode? And it doesn't have to be an episode that you interviewed for, but what would you say is your favorite episode this past season?
I'd probably say Pastor Bats.
Okay.
Just for the fact that, like, he was pumped up, and this was during wintertime when the general population was still kind of bummed out. Like, the church congregations were kind of, like, you know, in disarray. Like, people didn't know what was going on with their church.
Yeah.
And here he comes in, he's all pumped up about it. And he was like the only dude that I saw like outside of, like, you know, my circle that was actually excited about going to church. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of helped uplift my spirits.
That's cool.
And then everybody else, I started noticing over the course of time when our outlook looked a little better. Yeah, it made it a little easier. How about you guys? Or how about you, Kevin?
The interview with the rabbi.
Hmm.
When he said that his Twitter handle was Rabbi AF, I go, I can relate to him. And because you got different faiths. What I loved about this podcast too was it didn't matter if you had faith or not. There was one comment that somebody made that, you know, they may not subscribe to faith, but they've become one of our listeners because we were so open-minded mm-hmm. about how you define faith,
yeah,
how you define your faith. And I really, really loved the interview with the rabbi because he opened my eyes to a lot of things about how it's just awesome how him being a rabbi, and as I said before, you go, he goes there.
Yeah.
Not only you go, don't cross that line. He crossed it like 3-5 times, and you're coming back and going, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
I want to
yeah.
be like a person to think outside the box. And I like what you said, Derek, before is before you can think outside the box, you've got to have a box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Know what you're thinking. And he was one of the guests that made me look at my own life and go, how can I improve?
Yeah.
Like, that? How can I look at things differently?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say for me, one of my favorite interviews or episodes, this past season would have to be Megan's episode from Canabe, just cause I learned so much from CBD and, you know, going into it, I had some knowledge. Obviously I met her back when I was working for Steelhead and she was one of our frequent customers, and she would, you know, give me a little bit of, you know, information here and there about CBD oil, CBD capsules and its benefits. And I got to hear her story a little bit, as she was waiting for her drink, matcha latte with oat, 8-ounce cup with honey and a little bit of cinnamon. So I still know her drink and,
or else,
but no, her coming on to the show and breaking down not just, you know, the medical side to CBD oil, but even just talking about the industry itself. And
yeah.
I left that interview a little bit more confident, knowing that what I'm putting into my body isn't just some, you know, because again, there's stigma behind CBD. And the irony is, you know, you're getting an uptick of folks, let's say there's this, forgot what kind of mushroom it is, but it's supposedly has all these health benefits. People are putting it in their coffee. You know, I hear a lot of Christians talk about it. Again, I forgot what type of mushroom, but yet, you know, there's no problem. Again, and coming from the religious aspect, there's no problem with substance like that, but then there's still stigma behind CBD. And it's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, you got two plants in a mushroom and well, I guess mushroom is a fungus, but you got a mushroom and you got, you know, oil extracted from, you know, the cannabis plant. And it's like, well, what's the main difference? You know, and I think we talked about it in a couple of episodes ago too, where, you know, you got a faction of faith communities like Christianity where they have no problem with, let's say, you know, what's that number that, it's slipping my
mind. Red number 7?
No. Like Christians will take issue with Zodiac, but they won't take issues with, you know, what you call it number. I forgot. Anyway, yeah, Enneagram number.
Oh, you're,
you
know? Enneagram.
You know, and they're both rooted in the stars. They're both rooted in the study of. And so it's like, you know, there's just some inconsistency, and I'm deviating now from my favorite episode, but I just think Megan really, really brought together and answered a lot of those questions regarding CBD and its use and that it's not evil, like a lot of people in faith communities, specifically American Christians, kind of perceive CBD to be. And yet, again, the irony is they don't have any issue with alcohol, for instance. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
So I would say that. I would say Megan's interview was very informative. And I would say just for that alone, the information I got from that, I would say is one of my favorite episodes of this past season.
Nice.
Yeah. Any more questions? For me, I got one big question that maybe I'll save for.
I got one more. Well, it's kind of a statement. And then what do you guys have to say about this too? I mean, one thing that I really enjoyed about all the interviews over the course of the season is it's like the Bible. It's like we all had similar things to say or mm-hmm. similar themes like slow down, self-love, respect yourself, breathe. And then even Pastor Michelle and Pastor Matt, they're talking about the Monday through Saturday, you know, the lifelong church. Like how crazy was it for you guys to hear throughout the course of the season, people saying the same thing, but they happen to live in a different state or city?
Yeah.
Like how miraculous was that to you guys?
No, it was. And even people of different backgrounds, whether they're faith yeah. backgrounds or not, just from a human aspect of, and maybe it was the pandemic that really yeah. unified a lot of people's thinking regarding rhythms of life. And one being slow down. And yeah. I'm sure Pastor Michelle could say this, and even to mm-hmm. some extent, Rabbi Brian was, and I know Pastor Matt yeah. would say this, but I think what the pandemic did, and in many ways we were able to capture it in this season, was that, and maybe I can't speak for like the Jewish church or the Jewish synagogues or Judaism, but at least from the Christian perspective, like everything that went into the Sunday morning experience pre-pandemic wasn't as important as it was made out to be. And the heavy emphasis on, you know, putting all of your resources on building the Sunday. And maybe Christians won't admit to this. And, you know, a lot of folks and leaders would say, no, but we do. We encourage people to live out their faith Monday through Saturday, and then we come to Sunday to celebrate. But how really is that? Like what practical steps has the church really taken other than, hey, go be the church? But I think during this pandemic, it forced Christian leaders specifically to think differently. Like there was no Sunday service anymore. So how is the church going to be the church outside of Sunday? And I think that put a lot of good pressure on the church to answer that question. And I think, again, I'm sure Pastor Michelle can agree to this, but I know, again, I know Pastor Matt does, and myself too as a pastor, that there are, I don't want to say more important things than Sunday, because I think the Sunday experience as a faith community is important. But there are equally other important things during the week that we can't just theoretically say we need to be about. We actually need to show. And, you know, we saw churches step up in ways that was beautiful to see, whether it's creating food giveaways during the week that they didn't do prior, really encouraging smaller gatherings. And in smaller gatherings, you can breathe, you can slow down. You know, something yeah. that you said to Chris in the beginning, you get down to that human level again, and there was a lot more emphasis on that, whether it be through Zoom gatherings or smaller in-person gatherings. I think we saw that. I'll say this past season, just because this past season was primarily in a pandemic. And so, yeah, it was a miraculous thing, like you said, to just see a lot of people come to that realization that it's important to, yes, slow down, yes, to breathe, but yes, to get back to that human connection. And it was a beautiful thing to see.
I don't know. What about you, Kevin? Did you find like the constant themes and the principles that we as hosts and the guests were sharing over the course of the year? I mean, did you find it kind of miraculous too? Like it's kind of crazy.
Yes. Yes. I'm a little bit of a story about my family that I can remember on my dad's side. My grandmother, rest in peace. She, one thing that she always did every year, she always made a quilt for us, quilt for every member of the family. And of course, when you're little, you're just looking at, why is grandma just making me another blanket? Well, it's not really another blanket. And she took me aside one time and I saw a quilt in her room, and it had each little panel had something different about a different member of the family. Hmm. And I thought, what's the purpose of this, Grandma? And she says, one big blanket, individual people, you quilt them together and they all become one big whole. Hmm. One big whole.
Like W-H-O-L-E, not H-O-L-E.
Yeah.
Yeah.
W-H-O-L-E.
Right.
So, and I thought what was beautiful about this past season is no matter which guest you had on there, whether you had a counselor talking about scientific reasons for anxiety.
Yep.
Or
yeah.
Or Blakenstein talking about gothic rock metal
and burning humans on fire.
That's right. And it all had a underlying theme of breathe.
Right.
Stop. Slow down. There was always these underlying themes, and that's what I thought was beautiful.
Yeah. So hey, here's my big question before we attempt to do an impromptu lightning round amongst the three. I know we did it. Okay. We did the lightning round on episode one of the season, but we prepared that. We're not prepared for lightning round, but we're going to try. But here's my big question. So I'm a big believer that God can speak through people. God can speak through books. Of course, he spoke through the narratives that we find in the Bible. What's one thing that you would say that God was trying to say? And I know we came up with themes. We just talked about that. But maybe there was a particular guest, or maybe there was a particular maybe question we answered during this past season. What's one thing that you would say that God was trying to articulate, maybe get your attention with during this season, specifically through this podcast? What would you say that is? Let's start with you, Chris. What do you think God was saying to you?
Man, it's give your gifts of showing empathy and sympathy towards other people through the vehicle of art.
Hmm.
I think that's the number one thing. I mean, yeah, I taught a couple of kids at church and they're going to be moving in the summer. But during lockdown, I was taught that, A, I think you're meant to be teaching these kids.
Wow.
And then also, too, at the Hub, I was able to meet a bunch of other people and kind of talk to them and kind of teach them. You know, these are people that, they've even said, like, my church doesn't like me. They think I question too much.
Hmm.
And I tell them, I'm like, dude, I'm the same way. You know, it's like, here I am supposed to follow this person. They can't give me a good enough answer of why I should be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, if those are religious leaders, they should be able to answer you and give you a good answer as to reason why. And I think he kind of saw, like, I was feeling for him because I understood his same exact story, because that's what was mine. That was my previous religious story. And just to be able to connect to them on a human level, let them know that, hey, those emotions that you gave, God gave you those.
Yeah.
Now let's put them out on paper and affect the community in a positive way rather than acting a fool and beating somebody up.
Yeah.
You know, let's do it in a positive way. And I was able to learn that over the summer.
It's good.
How about you guys?
I can think back again to a visit I made to Corridor Flow and talking to Carrie Joy Pasquale. And there's a few times when you talk with someone that it's like time flies.
Yeah.
Or you have no notion of time just because you're so ingrained in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have never met Carrie Joy Pasquale if it wasn't for the podcast.
Right.
And I think about how, what would I always say, 6 degrees of separation. What's that scientific thing about everything's like a small world?
Yeah.
So all these connections. So it went from hearing their interview to seeing them in person to interacting with them in person and developing friendships and see you here next time. And so being able to sit at Corridor Flow with Chris and meet some of his friends and meet other people.
Yeah. I got to meet John too.
John too. And as I'm sitting there going, I have a choice. I could sit at home and feel bad about myself, or I could get myself out of the house and go and just look at the green grass. And that's a new thing that the Lord has put on my mind is don't look around. Just look for green grass.
Yeah.
Look at the green grass. Focus on the green grass. And that's a new way of looking at things, because you could look and go, there's dirt everywhere, but look, there's green grass.
Right.
And so that's what the guests of the podcast have done for me, even as an interviewer, especially like when I was interviewing Rita Wilde. I mean, you could talk with her about music all the time. I didn't want to talk to her about music because they talk about music all the time. And you could see through that interview what a beautiful thing came out when you don't talk about just music.
Yeah. Yeah, I think to that end, Kevin, what I sensed God was reminding me this past season was you know, everyone has a story and everyone is unique. And you're right. You know, just because someone, let's say, you know, is a rabbi or someone does greeting cards or someone is a pastor or, you know, someone is a, you know, like Mario, like a graphic artist, right? Or an author. There's more to their lives than just that. And what I sense God reminding me this past season was, it's important to see people from that human level, kind of like what you're saying, Chris, earlier, that everyone has a story. And the more we take time to hear them for who they are in their entirety, I think the better we will have a human experience. And I could say, I can look it down at the list, and I'm looking at the list of different people we interviewed, and you know, a lot of them, are Christian, a lot of them weren't. But I think, especially when it comes to religion, we've allowed our allegiance to specific religions to divide us. And instead of, you know, seeing the doctrines or the theology that divide us, it's important that we see what actually unites us as human beings.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's a therapist who doesn't believe in God or whether it's an artist who does, you know, the one thing we all have in common is that we're all created in the image and likeness of God, and we're all human beings. And, you know, I think about what's ahead as far as like the coffee shop opening and the opportunities that I'm going to have to see people for who they are on a daily basis, coming to get coffee, some hanging out to do work, but even the coworkers that we're going to hire. And really not to have this ulterior motive to say, hey, come and get coffee, come work for the coffee shop, and then I'm gonna shuffle you into our church service. No. Hey, just come to the coffee shop, get coffee, and I wanna get to know you. I wanna get to know you for who you are. And it's important to have that posture when we deal with people. And I think there's a lot of division because, you know, we're not able to see the other person whom we disagree with as the human that they are. And I think that would serve us better to really see people for who they are. And I think that's what one thing that God was really trying to highlight in me this past season is these people you're bringing on all have a story. Listen to their story, ask your questions, but listen to their story and really connect with them on a human basis. And I even think about our first episode, and I think that was the title of our first episode, wasn't it? Right?
Human.
Yeah, right. And so I think
at least that's what Alexa told me when I listened to it. Episode one, being human.
Yeah, human with our new lineup.
He knows. Right. He knows or whatever. Yeah.
So call it for what it is. It's full circle back, 26 episodes later from the first episode of the season. And yeah, so I would
say
that's
a lot.
Yeah.
It's actually more than we set out. That's
right.
Pretty cool.
Hey, so let's do this. Let's dive into lightning round. Y'all down to play?
Yeah, I'm down to get shot.
Cue the theme music. All right, here we go. I'm gonna start us off. I'm gonna just, obviously I don't have a lot of choices. I only have two. So be on alert. I'm gonna ask you two questions, and whomever I call, it's you're up to ask the question to whomever. Okay. All right, here we go. Lightning round, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start off with Chris. Chris, here we go. Mono or stereo?
Oh, stereo. Kevin, Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles or Knott's Berry Farm Chicken?
I knew you would go there. So I say Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
What?
All right, there you go.
Derek, Disneyland or Waterworld the show?
Oh, Waterworld the show, man. Come on. I don't care how many rides Disneyland puts and how many Marvel theme parks they put. Waterworld, the live action show, will always be worth your while. Kevin, bouncing back to you, glasses or sunglasses?
Sunglasses. Chris, Debbie Harry or Missing Persons?
Debbie Harry. Derek, Blake Nelson Slayer or Slayer Espresso Machine?
Oh, man. As much as I loved Blake's story, I got to stick with the Slayer Espresso Machine, man. Like, that's my world. That's my world. Chris, we're going to bounce back to you. Okay. Hip-hop, 80s or 90s?
Oh, man. I got to go 80s. Okay. Kevin, Potsy Weber or Jack Tripper?
Potsy Weber, man. I gotta relate to him because when he's trying to pour the salt and it all falls together, he goes, the Fonz made me do it.
Dude, I did not know that that was Potsy's last name.
Man, you're not old enough, dude.
No, man, I watched Happy Days. Come on now. I just didn't know that was his last name.
It was going to be Potsy Weber.
I just want to say this, you know. Derek.
Yes.
Derek.
Yes.
Laverne or Shirley?
Milwaukee in the house, huh? I would have to say Laverne. Redhead. Right? Yeah.
Right.
Kevin, back to you. Let's do this. Herman Munster or the original monster, Frankenstein?
Oh, the original Boris Karloff monster.
Yeah.
Derek, Sanka or Uban?
Well, just because I grew up on Sanka, well, not me, but my parents drank Sanka, I'd have to go Sanka, Sanka coffee. Chris, coffee or tea?
Ah, dude, coffee. Okay, and then here you go. Last question. Let's go with Kevin. Dynasty or Falcon's Crest?
Oh, Falcon Crest, definitely. You got to watch the Joan Collins.
Well, boom. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. The
hey, but then she went to Dynasty later on, too. What's up with that?
The impromptu lightning round. We did it. We made it through one season. Thank you, too, for hopping on. As I said earlier, I'm looking forward to season two to come to an end. But then season three is just around the corner. End of the year.
Yeah.
If you're listening out there, don't forget we have a few bonus episodes coming in the summer. So listen out for that. Don't forget our Instagram at breathe.podcast. And don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts as well as patreon.com/Derek Engoy to continually help produce this show. Boys, last minute thoughts before we wrap up our season. Kevin, last minute thoughts.
Vanilla ice cream is awesome.
Yes, it is. And Chris.
Okay, here, one last question, bonus for the lightning round. All Punsit right. or Pundasol, Derek?
Oh, I would have to say Punsit. I would have
oh,
to say
Oh, okay. All right, okay, all good. How about you?
Oh, last thoughts. Yeah, hey, I know we say this, or at least I say this at closing, but I really mean it. I know it's a tagline that we've been saying, but it's important that we continually try to make peace with everyone. Not just this upcoming week, but as part of our life rhythm. It's really important. And I know that maybe this summer, and we don't know, summer it hasn't ended yet, but this summer for sure isn't off to a rocky start as last summer was because of the whole George Floyd in the midst of the pandemic and a lot of that division. But either way, there's still a lot of mess in our world. And as agents, especially for the three of us and those who do follow Jesus, we are agents of peace, right? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He doesn't say, blessed are those who wish for peace. Blessed are those who pray for peace. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, meaning we have to go and make peace. We have to be intentional about it. And I'd say to end the season, that's my parting thoughts, that we have to make peace. And it's important that we do. So, that being said, again, thank you for joining in the journey. Looking forward to season three. Don't forget to, as I said, rate and review the podcast, Instagram, and Patreon. But until next time, until season three, be the light, extend your hand in love, and of course, make peace with someone this upcoming summer and into season
three. Yeah, the entire summer.
That's right. Peace, y'all.